Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your host, Rashad Al-Amin. The show is Your Health is Your Wealth. As you know, I am a holistic educator, naturopath by profession, and I always share health information with the public and with you all on this program. And first, before we start, I want to thank you all for tuning in, and hopefully you have your notepads and your pens ready to take down information. And also, I want to suggest that you tell your friends or coworkers and neighbors to tune in so they also can benefit from this program and get vital information that's necessary that we should know about. So, again, I thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank Imam Alfred Muhammad, who allows me this spot every Thursday, 7 o'clock. And we apologize. Last week, there was a technical difficulty, and we could not get on the program. So, again, we apologize, and hopefully that won't happen again. But we're here this week, so we're happy about that. Before I start, I always want to relate this to you, because Imam Alfred asked me to. You know, Imam Alfred Muhammad always asked if you can send him whatever donations you can, because to keep this program alive, it does take money. And I will give you the information where you can send your money orders or checks, whatever. And that would be to Alfred Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. And his address is 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. Linden would be L-I-N-D-E-N, 07036. You can send your donations there to help out with the program. Also, he's got a prostate fund, which would be GoFundMe Alfred Muhammad Prostate, that's P-R-O-S-T-A-T-E. And you can also send donations. He asked for your help with his situation. So those of you, you know, who find it in your heart to give something, please do. And hopefully, you know, he can get the treatments he needs. So, again, try to send whatever you can. Now, today, there's a couple things I want to discuss. I want to deal with animal factories. A lot of you are not aware what happens in animal factories, which you should be aware of. You should know where your meats are coming from, how they are raised, how they are slaughtered, and things of this nature. I had wanted also to continue. A few weeks back, I was speaking about a book called Confessions of a Medical Heretic, and that was Dr. Robert S. Mendelson, M.D., and he had a high position in one of the hospitals in Chicago. But he had to confess what goes on in the hospitals. And I shared a lot of that with you a few weeks back. If I have time, I'm going to go back to that and share some other information that's in that book that you need to know about. You got to know what goes on in a hospital setting. You see, a lot of us don't know what goes on. And he wrote this book back in 1976, and it's still the same today. Those traditions are still the same. So I will try to share some of that information with you. But before I start, I wanted to share a little something with you, a tidbit. Because I know there's a lot of people out there with cancer, and both men and women have developed some form of cancer. So I wanted to share a few things that may help you. Now, I'm saying this because I had a friend that called, and this person has a friend who has breast cancer, and she wanted her to look at alternatives as opposed to conventional treatments, which they set her up for, which would be chemotherapy and radiation. So I asked her, I said, is she open to alternatives? And she said, not really. I said, now I can't help her if she's not. If she wants to go along with the conventional treatment of chemotherapy and radiation, that's a choice. I said, but if I were her, I would Google chemotherapy, look at the pros and cons, and also look at the alternatives, which you should look into. Excuse me, please. I said, if you like, go on there yourself and look at it, and then share it with your friend, and let her decide if she wants to go along with the conventional, which I believe she already started because she said she had this shunt put into her and for the chemotherapy, and she said that she came out of hospital feeling real bad, so she might have received the first dose of chemotherapy or radiation. I'm not sure which one. Anyway, so hers is breast cancer. Now, let me share something with you all out there, ladies especially, because you're the main ones that come down with breast cancer. There are some men who get breast cancer too, believe it or not. It's a small group of men that do, but not like the women. So, you can look at certain herbs or foods. And I was looking at and I researched and found that extra virgin olive oil from Italy or Sicily. It got to be real extra virgin olive oil. Taking a tablespoon a day will help kill cancer cells. This is a fact. It'll help kill cancer cells. Now, you got to make sure what you're getting is real olive oil, because they have, the mafia is actually putting oil out there that's not 100% olive oil. They're mixing it with chestnut oil or soy oil, and you'll know real extra virgin olive oil because it's got a dark greenish color. And then you look for the cloudy type that hadn't been refined or anything. Okay, cold pressed. So make sure it's from either Italy or Sicily, but it's got to be extra virgin organic olive oil. So remember that. And it helps kill cancer cells. Now, another thing that will kill breast cancer cells, and I've been finding this out, and they say within 19 hours, sweet wormwood, W-O-R-M-W-O-O-D, is shown to kill breast cancer cells within 19 hours. It's something you want to do every day for a while. So they have this herb. You can find it in an extract form with a dropper, and you add it to a little water, and you take it every day. So this is something else you can use. A great food for those of you who have breast cancer, and also for prevention, is a vegetable called watercress. Watercress, and cress is C-R-E-S-S. Watercress prevents cancer and slows cancer growth. So it's even more powerful Then broccoli, cabbage, you know, those are cruciferous vegetables. It's even more powerful than those two. So keep that in mind. Watercress is good to incorporate it into your diet. So look into that, brothers and sisters, especially the sisters who may have breast cancer. Check that out. Now, your doctor's never going to tell you this. A lot of them are just ignorant and don't know better. A lot of them do know better, but they're not going to tell you because they don't want to lose you as a patient or client or whatever. So just remember that. Sometimes you have to do your own research, and you'll find plenty of information that can help you, okay? Just get look for legitimate studies, peer-reviewed studies, not some of this crazy, wacky stuff you see on the internet, some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen, and people just go for it. I guess maybe psychologically, if you believe it enough, maybe it will reverse your condition. You understand? No, those things can happen now. But there's some wacky stuff on the internet, and don't pay that no attention, okay? Look for legitimate studies, peer-reviewed medical journals that have great information. Okay, so much for that, brothers and sisters. Now, the reason I want to speak about animal factories, I happen to be taking some herbal products to a client, I think it was about a week and a half ago. And while there, she wanted to show me something on her phone, and it was how they make sausage. I never seen, well, I've seen stuff before, but this was just horrible. Horrible. Now, I don't know how many of you out there eat sausage. Raise your hands. You know I can't see you, but now, I know a lot of you like sausage. I don't know where you get your sausage from, what brand you eat, but let me say this. In that video, watching it on her phone, they showed the slaughtering process of these animals before they make them to sausage. There's this machine on the ground, and it's got these long steel teeth, and maybe, I would say, maybe 12 feet long, and about, or maybe even longer than that, and I would say maybe about 5 feet or 6 feet wide. And what they were doing, I don't know what that was, 90 seconds. Somebody said 90 seconds on here. Anyway, what they were doing, they were taking animals, all different types of animals. They were throwing live animals. I think we have a glitch here. I hear something from this blog radio talking about 50 seconds, 60 seconds. I'm not sure what's going on here because we already started the programming, and this sounds like something like it's starting to begin again. I hope we're not having a problem here. I hope you all are hearing me, and this is not some kind of glitch that's going to create a problem. Now, just give it a few seconds. I know the lady said 60 seconds. Let's see what happens if this is going to interfere with the programming or not. Hopefully not, because that means I would probably have to start from the beginning all over again. It says 10 seconds. Now, let's see what happens. Just give me those 10 seconds, brothers and sisters, and let me see what happens with this recording here. Just hold on. Be patient. And let's see what happens. Okay, I don't hear that recording. Okay, I guess we're all right. Anyway, so they're taking live animals, I mean live animals, and throwing them into this machine, which goes around. It's got these steel teeth. And when you throw them in, it just chops the animal up while they're alive. They'll throw pigs in there. I'm telling you what they're throwing in there. They were throwing pigs in there. They were throwing live cows in there. I mean, no mercy whatsoever. I'm like, what the heck is wrong with these people? I said, that's animal abuse at the highest. And then on top of that, they were throwing live horses in there. I couldn't believe my eyes. I said, this is me. And you can see, like, when it's chopping them up, you see their legs kicking and everything. So now you got the whole animal, the head, the tail, the private parts, the hooves, the brains. Everything is being ground up. And then from that point, it goes through this machine, and you get this slimy-looking stuff, and that slimy-looking stuff goes through another process, and it goes through several processes until you get sausage. So this is what you are eating. Now, a lot of you say, oh, my God. Well, listen, if you don't investigate or look into how things are made, you'll never know. And you may be eating stuff, and you may be against what they're doing, because if they're doing this to live animals, and you're one that has certain feelings for animals, or you're an animal lover, and you hear or see something like that, I know you don't be offended, you don't be hurt, and I think personally they should lock these people up for doing that. So they will lock you up for mistreating a dog, but yet they're slaughtering these animals like that, live. I mean, just so painful, it doesn't make no sense. And then you get the finished product. I don't know what brands. They got several different brands or whatever. And this is what you're eating. You're eating everything that is part of that animal. This is what you're eating. And, oh, this sausage tastes good. I guess you don't know what's in it. If you knew what was in it, it wouldn't taste so good. Matter of fact, you might get very angry, and you may just give it up altogether. So that's one, maybe, or two companies that do it like that. I'm not saying that everybody that makes sausage does that process. I mean, you got humane ways of going about this, but this is inhumane. This is just ridiculous. So I'm sharing that with you so that you are aware of what goes on. Now, so my topic today is animal factories. Animal factories have been around for a long time. Yes, and we know there's barns, there's farmhouses, there's agribusiness, there's corporations, and they are building larger and larger new mega factories where farm animals never see the light of day until they are herded into trucks for the ride to the slaughterhouse. To the slaughterhouse. A lot of them never see the light of day, brothers and sisters. All they see is the barn they're in or whatever. And they go no further than that. Okay? So that's inhumane. And we see see the treatment that goes on in there, which I think they need to, and they don't really, try to change the ways of raising these animals or treating these animals. Just maybe the animal inspectors don't care, or they're getting paid off and allowing this stuff to happen. But most farms, like the ones we knew in childhood, you know, they're rapidly being replaced by animal factories. Animals are reared in huge buildings, in crowded cages stacked up like so many shipping crates. On the factory farms, there are no pastures, no streams, no seasons, not even day and night. It's all light. Lights on all the time. You see? This is your animal factory of today. You see? Yes. So we have a problem. We have a problem, brothers and sisters. And I tell you, I've seen some of these places, and it's horrible. So, we got chicken factories. We got the pig factories. We got the cow factories. We got all kind of factories for these different animals. You got the veal, the little calves, and the way they treat them is horrible also. You see? So let's look at some of these different factories and see what's going on. Now, large-scale production has caught on, and farmers built bigger buildings for larger flocks and larger profits. It's all about the money, brothers and sisters. They don't care how you eat, as long as you don't die quick when you eat their food. And it's not trying to be funny, but it's the truth. So here these large flocks, which mean more labor, and the crowding produced a host of problems. So in the poorly ventilated new buildings, contagious diseases are rampant. And, you know, losses multiplied throughout the button poultry industry. There have been a lot of losses. And there have been entire flocks that have been wiped out. And nightmarish scenes occurred in large crowded flocks, and some birds would peck others to death and eat their remains and burning off the tips. Now, we're talking about these chickens in these crates. These small crates are crowded with several chickens in each crate. They never touch the ground, brothers and sisters. And they burn off the tips of birds' beaks to reduce losses from pecking and cannibalism. So they have an automatic de-beaking machine, which is patented, and its use has become routine within a few years. This is what they do. And you know, in the late 1940s, sulfa drugs, that's S-U-L-F-A, and antibiotics were introduced as additives in chicken feed. You hear what I'm saying? This is the chicken feed. But it held down disease losses and stimulated the chicken's rate of growth. So now you have these chickens with these sulfa drugs and antibiotics in their chicken feed. So if they're eating this feed, and you eat the chicken, guess what you eat? Yes, you said it right. You're eating antibiotics, sulfa drugs, and some very poorly produced chickens. Okay? So this is how this works. And major pharmaceutical companies began buying up breeding companies that were producing commercial chicken strains. Pharmaceutical companies, these are some wicked, wicked people also. It's the truth. Now, the cages that these birds are in. You know, egg farmers, they keep their birds indoors for a year or more. And they had to find a means of manure removal that would not disturb the hens or interfere with production. So producers discovered that they could confine layer hens in wire mesh cages suspended over a trench to collect droppings. And the manure pile could be cleaned out without bothering the hens above. So at first, producers placed their birds one to each cage. But when they found that birds were cheaper than wire and buildings, crowded cages and crowded houses became the rule. So crowding did mean that more hens died. But this cost was slight compared to the increased total egg output. That's the whole thing, is to get the eggs. Okay? They didn't care how long these hens lived or whatever. They wanted production. You see? And in 1967, 44% of commercial layers were caged. By 1978, 90% of layer hens were caged. Today, 95% or more of all egg production comes from caged birds in automated factory buildings. Do you hear that? What happened to the chicken farms that had hens that run around on the earth, on the ground, eating natural feed, okay, getting their exercise, spreading their wings, going up to their little booths or whatever and lay their eggs and come out whenever they want? What happened to those days? I mean, there's still some small farmers around who do have those type of farms. But 95% right now are conventional commercial farms where these birds never see the light of day. Okay? So this is the stuff you eat. And these eggs are not the best eggs. They're unhealthy eggs. Some of these eggs come out green. Not the shell, but I'm talking about the yolk, even the white part. So you got to be careful. You see, this is not natural. And to me, it's animal abuse. But they get away with it. They get away with everything. So let's look at them a little more. Now, we know that the males don't lay eggs. And the flesh of these strains is a poor quality, so they are literally thrown away. Yes, they are. You know. Listen, they take these males and they literally throw them away. And if you look, you can probably go on the internet and watch as one of these hatcheries. They call chick pullers. They weeded the males from each tray and dropped them into heavy-duty plastic bags. And they explained, we put them in a bag and let them suffocate. Okay? And then a mink farmer picks them up and feeds them to his mink. Those of you who love to wear those mink coats, you see what they're eating? So these are live chicks who are being suffocated. the males. You see? So, now, the public has been made aware of the ongoing mass destruction of male egg-type chicks, and the hatchery industry is making efforts to promote more humane methods, or at least methods that appear more humane. Okay? So some of these include killing by decapitation or by asphyxiation in a carbon dioxide chamber. Okay? And many hatcheries just simply grind up the live newly hatched chicks and their shells into a meal, which is dehydrated and used as a protein supplement in the feeds of other factory animals. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? And look, the latest machine of destruction is a type of rapid decompression chamber in which the chicks explode and die, and they hope instantly. Did you hear that? They would explode and die. Now, I know there's a lot of you that love to eat some chicken. Yeah, I love my chicken, man. Well, if you're listening to this, hopefully you'll stop eating it. Hopefully you'll say, I can't do this no more if this is the way they're treating these animals. You understand? Some of you could care less. You don't care what they do to it. Some of you don't even want to hear this. Okay? You're probably putting your hands up to your ear. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Well, just hang up then. Okay? Just keep eating your chicken. Just keep eating your chicken, especially you women who like to eat all that chicken. Okay? I know a lot of you love some chicken. You see? And you wind up with fibroid tumors. Anyway, let's look at the factory-made eggs. You know, female chicks are sold to egg producers to begin their careers as layers. Okay? Meaning they lay eggs. And egg producers clip the beaks and, in some operations, the toes of new chicks. They clip them off and then vaccinate them against a variety of poultry diseases. And producers house the pullets, that means the young hens, to grow out in buildings for about 20 weeks until they are ready to begin laying eggs. And to hold down excitement and fighting as grown birds crowd the pullet house floor, many producers keep the buildings dark, except at feeding time. So a lot of these chickens are in the dark. In the dark. Except for feeding time. You see? And when the birds are mature, they are moved to automated layer houses where they are confined in cages that run the length of the building 2, 3, or 4 levels high. And a watering system and 2 conveyor belts, one to bring feed and one to collect eggs, run along each level. Okay? This is how, if you ever go through Virginia, you might see Tyson Chicken, what's the other one, Purdue Chicken Farms. If you ever drive by there, damn places, excuse me, stink. They stink. It's horrible smell. I remember driving through Virginia with my 2 daughters. And we saw those chicken factories in the distance, but the stench was horrible. We had to hold our noses driving through that part of Virginia. It was just terrible. I said, you know what? This is what people are eating. I said, I would never eat a chicken if it's coming from something like that. And I don't eat chicken, believe me. I haven't had no chicken in 32 years. Any meat, neither. I haven't had no meat, neither. I will not eat that stuff. They can have it. Anyway, in automated buildings, such as these, some 285 million hens, listen to me, 285 million hens produce virtually all of the commercial eggs in the United States. And under natural conditions, chickens can live as long as, now listen carefully, under natural conditions, chickens can live as long as 15 to 20 years. But in the modern egg factory, however, hens last only about a year and a half. I know this to be true. I've lived on a farm which produced certain animals. You know, we had crops and everything. And those chickens, you've seen them for years. They're still running around. But these factories, I feel sorry for these poor animals. You only get a year and a half of life just so they can produce some eggs for you. So you can throw them at people during Halloween. You know, not everybody, but, you know, you have a lot of them that do that. I'd throw them away, too, if I knew they came from there. But I wouldn't throw them at nobody. Anyway, so this is the kind of thing that goes on. So the reliance on human labor seems old-fashioned now, and the broiler industry is trying to grow birds in cages similar to those used by a producer. So birds could then be reared and shipped to market, cages and all. So there are problems, though, in that cage broilers develop, listen up, caged broilers, that's those chickens, develop breast blisters, bruises, foot and leg injuries, and too much abdominal fat. You hear me? Yes. Over 5 billion chickens are factory reared each year for American dinner tables. 5 billion chickens. There's a whole lot of chicken eating going on here. Okay? 5 billion? That's how many people in the world. It's America here. We ain't got but what? 300 million Americans here in this country? And we talking about 5 billion chickens? My God. How about pigs? Now, many of us don't eat pigs. Of course, you know, a lot of us are either Muslims or you might be Jews. You may be Seventh-day Adventists or you just may be vegetarians. But even the pigs, which I don't care for, I haven't eaten no pig since I was 17 or 18, I believe I stopped eating pork. Okay, and we know that pork is not good for you. But 80% of U.S. pigs are raised in 12 Midwestern states. 80%. I've seen some pigs here in New Jersey. I remember as a young man, about 18, 19 years old, I seen some hogs that were so huge. I was saying, what the heck? These things were humongous. But anyway, a lot of people love these hogs, you see. But a lot of them are in total confinement systems in which the pigs never see daylight until they are put on the truck for the trip to the slaughterhouse. Okay? So here you are, those of you who like the piggy wiggy. Piggly Wiggly, you like that pig and you have the same problem as the chickens. Okay? Some of you just like pork chops, some of you like that bacon and you like that ham and chitlins and you like the pig feet and pig brain, and how the heck do you eat something like that? But you do. Some of you out there listening, Hopefully, whoever's listening doesn't. But if you do, think about it. How do you eat a pig foot when that's the sewer system of the pig where that pus comes out of? And you go to the store and buy you a jar of pig feet. Most stinking feet. God almighty, what the heck is wrong with people? Anyway, newborn pigs, they receive injections of iron and antibiotics. Their needle teeth are clipped. You know those teeth they got? The front ones? They're clipped. Their tails removed. This is why they're alive. And their ears notched for identification. And the young males are usually castrated just before weaning. Castrated. Can you imagine, gentlemen, being castrated? God, this is terrible. And in the grown buildings, the pigs encounter the usual factory equipment that removes manure and provides them with a steady supply of ground corn and other nutrients. They remain in there for about 20 weeks until they are ready for market at about 250 pounds. That's how much one of these pigs weigh. And farmers have now begun to stack pens and cages 2 and 3 decks high to expand production in the grown buildings while saving space and labor. So they're in these cages. They never get to run around. Huh? Listen. About a week before a pig's piglets are due, the pregnant sow, which is the pig, is moved to a, what they call, a farrowing building to give her time to settle down and adjust to the change before the birth. Here she is restricted to the tight quarters of a farrowing stall for 2 or 3 weeks until her piglets are born, nursing and on their feet. The stall permits her to lie and stand, but she cannot walk or turn around. Its purpose is to keep her in position only to eat, drink, keep her teats exposed to the young pigs. This is how they do your piggy wiggy, or piggly wiggly. Okay? Just a small tidbit on the pigs. I don't want to focus too much on pigs. You know, they are the garbage disposals of the earth. They eat your garbage up, just like flies eat garbage. So, and then you eat the pig with the garbage. Okay? And then you take the trichny worms along with it, which get into the muscles of your body and eat away at your muscles. And after a while, you get stiff and all that. So anyway, that's your pigs. How about factory-made milk? Oh, my God. How many of you out there drink milk? Huh? Oh, milk. You used to see the billboards with the famous actors with the white mustache. Oh, milk. You see, milk isn't what you think it is. Milk is not what you think it is. Okay? Anyway, there's a good book out there on milk. Milk the poison something. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, both meat and dairy cattle are now being brought from pastures to the mechanized confinement buildings as farmers turn to the new factory methods. On the factory dairy farm, cows live by the farmer's daily milk collection routine. Now, as I said, I used to be on a farm. We had milking cows. And in the barn, they would be in their stanchions. They would have a stanchion where their head would be locked up. And so they couldn't, you know, run around. And they had the machines to pump the milk and all. You would put them on the teats and pump the milk. But these same animals were let loose every day to go out there and graze on the grass, you know, just eat the grass and, you know, it's more of a natural type farm. But now we're talking about conventional farms. So for most of the day now, a cow is confined to a holding area where feed and water are available. And twice each day, maybe three times a day, on the largest factory dairies, she goes into a milking parlor where a system of rubber cups, plastic tubes, and vacuum pumps extracts the milk and pumps it into a refrigerated tank. Yeah, that's true. And if a profitable operation is to be maintained, a dairy farmer must keep each cow in the herd producing milk for as many days as possible throughout the year. And since cows give milk only for about 10 months after the birth of a calf, farmers rebreed each cow soon, usually about 40 to 60 days after each calf is born. So the calf is taken from its mother when a few days old, for otherwise it would drink the milk that is intended for sale and for human consumption. And if it's a female, the calf may be raised for the herd. If it's a male, he will be sent to market as soon as possible. And after a few years of routine calf and milk production, the cow's milk productivity wanes, and she is sent to the slaughterhouse. Okay, and, you know, they take a carcass. Well, because a carcass is not good enough to produce steaks, chops, and other cuts, he'll probably end up in the hamburgers of one of the fast food chains. Okay, so if a carcass is not good enough to produce steaks, it becomes hamburger meat, which a lot of you love to go to these fast food places, these hamburger joints, you see, that are grown and spreading all over the doggone world. This is what you are doing. Eating this cheap hamburger meat. And it's more, and you know, when you think about it, the cows who are on these conventional farms that are in stanchions and barns 24/7 with the lights on, these are stressed out cows, and they have to be fed antibiotics, shot them up with antibiotics to keep them from being stressed and to fatten them up and produce more milk. And that milk, which is being pumped out, is loaded with antibiotics. And because the teats become inflamed, pus is coming out of these, in this milk. And along with the milk, maybe some blood. And this is the milk that you are drinking, brothers and sisters. Yes, oh, delicious. Pus, blood, and all the rest of that mess. Antibiotics. You're getting it all. You're getting it all, brothers and sisters. I'm not making this stuff up. These are facts. Look it up yourself. You can find videos on the internet about this. I've been knowing this for years, though. And it's terrible. How about veal? Oh, I know a lot of you out there love some veal. Gotta have my veal. Ah, oh, that's good stuff. Yeah? Let's look at veal, brothers and sisters. Veal factories are the harshest confinement system. Do you hear that? Veal factories are the harshest confinement systems. Those newly born calves are taken from their mothers and turned into anemic, neurotic animals to produce the luxury, white, milk-fed, or prime veal preferred by gourmet cooks and fancy restaurants. And compared with the production of other animal commodities, milk-fed veal production is a small industry. About 1.2 million calves go through these factories each year, maybe more. Yes, this is what we're seeing here. Now, because they require an ample supply of newborn calves. Veal factories tend to be located in dairying regions, you know where the dairy cows are. So the veal producers buy day-old calves and place them into individual stalls in the veal factory building. For 14 to 16 weeks, the calf is confined to a space, listen up, scarcely larger and wider than its own body. Do you hear that? Scarcely larger and wider than its own body, often tied at the neck to further restrict movement within the stall. And throughout this confinement, brothers and sisters, the calf is fed a milk replacer, a mixture of dried skim milk, dried whey, starch, fats, sugar, mold inhibitors, vitamins, and antibiotics. And commercially made replacers are high in fat to cause the immobile calves to gain weight rapidly. Do you hear that? This is what they do in these veal factories. Now, I was listening to a gentleman who took a visit to a veal factory in northern Connecticut. And he said it gave him the feel for, it gave him a feel for the business of veal production. Although it was broad daylight outside, the calves' rooms were pitch dark. And he said our guide explained that darkness helped keep the calves quieter. And at feeding time, the lights were turned on as the producer made his rounds. And in two rooms, more than 100 calves were crated in rows of wooden stalls. Their eyes followed our movements, is what he's saying. Some appeared jittery, others lethargic. Many tried to stretch toward us from their stalls in an attempt to suckle a finger, a hand, or part of our clothing. The farmer explained, they want their mothers, I guess. I guess so, too. The farmer mixed milk replacer in a barrel and rolled it along the rows of stalls. And at each stall, he took a clean plastic pail, half filled it with the mixture, and hung it on the stall. And this liquid, twice daily, was the only food allowed to the calves. Buckets with nipples to relieve the young calves' urge to suckle, but are not used because they have more parts and recesses that might harbor bacteria. You see? And they say, moreover, the disassembly, cleaning, and sterilizing of 200 buckets twice each day would be costly and time-consuming to the farmer. So the stores contain no straw or other bedding, for that could be eaten by the calves, and the iron it contains would darken their flesh. They want to keep the flesh white. So this goes on for 15 weeks, by which time the calves weigh an average of 330 pounds and are ready for the market. And producers would like them to gain more, but by this time the anemic condition is severe, and the longer they are kept, the more will sicken and die in the stalls. That's your veal production, brothers and sisters who love to eat the veal. That's what you eat. This is number animal cruelty, you see. It's sad that we demand more meat in this world, especially in America, where these people want to eat brontosaurus burgers, humongous burgers. The quarter pounder played out. Now you got 2-3 pound burgers. Buffalo burger, whatever the heck you want to call them. It's just terrible. But this is what they're doing. Look at how many hamburger places are popping up everywhere. You see? Everyone's trying to outdo the other. And all you're doing is eating heart attack food. That's all you're doing. You're eating heart attack food. You see? Now, let's look at some other things. This is really sad. Now maybe we can... Let me share this with you. Let's see how much time I got. Oh, my God. This is your host, Rashad Suni El-Amin. This is Your Health is Your Wealth, which comes on every Thursday, 7 o'clock. We always thank you, ma'am, Alfred Muhammad, for allowing me this time to do this program. And again, Alfred Muhammad asked that you send funds, if you can, to keep the program alive. And that's Alfred Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. And he also has his prostate fund, and you would go to GoFundMe, Alfred Muhammad Prostate. Send your funds there also to help your brother out. Okay? So lastly, and there's so much I want to cover, and it looks like I'm not going to be able to cover Confessions of a Medical Heretic tonight, but this topic, I'm going to stay at it for the next couple weeks because you need to know what you're eating. And I'll also next week try to make time for Confessions of a Medical Heretic. So anyway, listen up. There's other species of animals that are being reared in factory systems. Sheep experts at the University of Illinois had developed model confinement buildings in which grown lambs can be penned and fed to market weights. Sheep experts at Ohio State University had designed and built a model confinement unit that incorporates floors made of heavy-duty steel mesh, electrically powered manure removal, and automatic feeding by electric timer. All of this fits in with the American Sheep Producer Council's National Blueprint for Expansion, designed to revive the sheep industry and bring it to the eastern states. This has been going on. So in cage systems similar to those used in egg factories, listen up, domestic rabbits are being raised for the meat and laboratory animal markets. You hear that? Raised for the meat and laboratory animal markets. And until recently, most rabbit producers were families with a few cages in the backyard, and rabbit meat was a specialty food not sold in supermarkets. But the American Rabbit Breeders Association, called ARBA, and a few animal scientists who specialize in rabbits are trying to build an industry modeled after the broiler business. Their sibling industry, the commercial rabbitries, that's what it's called, rabbitries, that raise animals for laboratory research and products testing, has shown that rabbits can be raised under intensive confinement conditions. So Arbor and its scientists are urging rabbit producers to follow the same route. One expert suggests that 160 rabbits can be raised in a 4 by 20 foot, 1/2 square foot per animal cage on wheels so that a breeding rabbit can remain in the same cage for her entire reproductive life. an additional advantage to this level of crowding, the scientist explains, is that the density keeps the animals from running and playing and otherwise expending energy that should go toward producing the maximum weight in the shortest possible time. Do you hear that, brothers and sisters? Wow. Now, so for these experts, the rabbit appears to have the potential to be the ultimate meat machine. Their industrial strategy then is to subject rabbits to the most efficient and mechanical regimen possible. And says another rabbit scientist, unlike any other type of livestock, rabbits can be bred back on the day that they give birth. In an intensive production system, it is theoretically possible to have one litter being raised from weaning to 8 weeks, one litter with the doe, and one litter in the uterus. A litter can be weaned at 4 weeks, and another litter kindled, born 3 days later. Now, that's rabbits. How about fish factories? Now, a lot of you out there are eating farm-raised fish. That's a no-no. That's some of the most polluted, filthiest fish you can buy. Loaded with bacteria. That's what most of you buy from these supermarkets. Farm-raised fish. Does that make sense? Farm-raised fish? Not wild caught. Farm-raised. Let's look at this. So, we see that even the Earth's waters are under invasion for more species to be converted into commodities by factory methods. So huge commercial fish factories are mass-producing fish to meet rising demand as consumer tastes change from red meat to lighter foods. And in the Pacific Northwest, the salmon are now running more in concrete tanks than in mountain streams. In southern states, the confined catfish is rivaling the confined chicken as most commercial animal. Okay? In the Bahamas, green sea turtles are being factory farmed in concrete and fiberglass tanks to produce steaks, soup, leather, and believe it or not, jewelry. In Florida and Louisiana, alligators are mass-produced in confinement for the handbag and shoe trade. And although the subject is beyond the scope of this information I'm sharing with you, millions of fur-bearing animals such as mink are in confinement and they're reared each year to supply the ever-increasing demand for fur garments. This is what's going on. This is what's going on, brothers and sisters. If you could see the pictures, you would be horrified. Okay? Now, what time is it? 8:04. I usually get off. And right now, I don't even have my air conditioner on. And I'm getting kind of hot down here. And I think maybe I'm getting ready to get off. But there's so much information. You know, it's a shame that these animals are bored, frustrated, and fearful as, you know, being stressed out. And, you know, when they're in that condition and then you eat these animals, you get the same thing. So, this is not healthy. It's not healthy. I eat a plant-based diet, plain and simple. I stay away from animals. I made some sardines every now and then, those Norway sardines. I'll get them. Other than that, nothing else as far as animals are concerned. You see? So that's This is the way I eat. I eat a lot of fruit. I ate a lot of melons. I ate a lot of vegetables. I ate a lot of grains, quinoa, millet, and all these good, healthy grains, spelt, and all this stuff here, and nuts and seeds and all this good stuff that's really good for the body. And I love fruit. Matter of fact, during the month of Ramadan, every year, as a matter of fact, I subsist on a raw diet for the whole month. And it's all basically fruit. And I feel stronger. I feel healthier and better. Matter of fact, we all know that the strongest animal in the jungle is the gorilla. And what does the gorilla eat? Fruit. No meat. Okay? No pork chops. No steaks. No veal. No hamburgers or hot dogs. And they are strong. They're the strongest animal in the jungle. So I said, I don't eat fruit. And believe it or not, I feel strong. Okay? Just letting you know. Then after Ramadan, I still keep that fruit diet up and the vegetable diet, and then maybe incorporate a few other things. I go back to eating some grains and nuts and all that stuff. And make my smoothies and my vegetable juices and things of that nature. And you feel good. You feel young. You feel so healthy. You see? That's the way you want to feel. Okay? Yeah. Oh, let me read a couple of things to you before I sign off. Biomachines. Get sick and die. Biomachines. Okay? I want to read something to you from Vernon G. Purcell, Genetic Engineering of Livestock, June 16, 1989, in Science Magazine. He said, necropsy surveys on market hogs at slaughter indicate that 10 to 30% have gastric ulcers. 30 to 80% have lesions typical of enzootic pneumonia, and up to 90% have osteochondrosis, which leads to synovitis and degenerative joint disease, the major cause of lameness in breeding age swine. That's for you swine eaters out there. Okay? That's for you swine eaters. Now, you figure out those words yourself. I know what they are, but you figure it out. That's your homework, to look these things up. So, these animals are stressed and bored. You know, factory animal experts are beginning then to look at stress as for good reason. And in reacting to stress, animals burn up available energy and nutrients that would otherwise go toward growth, gestation, lactation, and disease resistance. The blood of a stressed animal carries increased levels of adrenal hormones that can break down muscle tissue into energy to meet the cause of stress. When an animal is stressed, its defenses are down and is more prone to infectious diseases. Just like the human. Animals respond to stress in varying degrees. One particular animal may be stressed by a condition that produces no reaction in its pen mate. But the stressed animal may catch a disease that spreads to the second animal. Okay? So you see what the stress is doing to these animals? Yet, you want to eat them. Oh, I got to have my stressed animal. Now, I got pictures right in front of me of pigs who are victims of tail biting. That's other pigs biting off the tails of pigs. It's disgusting. But you eat these things. Probably they're selling you tails out there too. Do you understand? I wonder if the stores have pig tails in a jar. Huh? If they could catch the oink, they would probably put that in the jar too. So when you open it, you can just put your mouth on it and catch the oink. So later on, you can oink, oink. Just a little humor, brothers and sisters. Okay? But this thing is very serious. All right. We're going to, next week, continue with this topic on animal factories. And we'll try to get back to Confessions of a Medical Heretic about the hospitals that so many of you love going to. Even when you have a cold, you're in the emergency room, like it's such an emergency when the body's just trying to heal itself, but got to get something. Well, you will get something, and you'll see it later on in life, but we'll deal with that another time. So, my brothers and sisters, hopefully you all got something out of this discussion this evening. Hopefully you'll make changes for your betterment. Some will, some won't. But the wise ones, they will. Anyway, again, this is Rashad El-Amin, your host of Your Health is Your Wealth, coming from East Orange, New Jersey. And again, I want to mention that if you want to keep Imam Alfred Muhammad's program, Religion is Alive, on the air, and this program also, you can send your donations to Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. And also, Imam Alfred Muhammad has his prostate fund, which is called GoFundMe Alfred Muhammad Prostate. You can send whatever donations you can if you have to give. If you don't have to give, you know, we thank you anyway. But I want to thank you for listening and tuning in. I wish you all the best of health. I pray that you make the changes necessary so that you will have excellent health throughout your life, that you won't have to suffer the diseases of this modern world, which seems to be spreading like wildfire. So do your best to learn prevention, to eat properly, to remove foods that are harmful to you, and to incorporate foods that are healthy for you, that will heal the body and keep you healthy. So with that, again, I thank you, and may you all have a blessed evening, and that your families, that you, all your families are together having a good meal and just socializing and hopefully